And now we have letters from the readers of the Norwich Evening News from the past 7 days. Several of the letters refer to climate change and carbon emissions, and two point out that carbon emissions will not be helped by the building of the Western Link Road.
Theresa Belton of Jessop Road, Norwich, is quite forceful in her criticism of Norfolk County Council in choosing a route across the Wensum Valley. In April this year, Norfolk County Council stated, "We must lead by example and demonstrate to the next generation our action and responsibilities in tackling climate change." Yet on Monday, the same council chose their preferred route for a Western Link Road across the Wensum Valley, where their own documents show that road carbon emissions are projected to increase by 19.5% between 2023 and 2040. This road should not be built on any route. How can the shocking discrepancy between the council's fine declaration and their conflicting policy-making be explained? Is it poor memory on the part of all councillors, but one abstainer? Do councillors really believe that noble words alone can stave off global warming? It's time to get real. We face climate breakdown, and there is no time to lose in acting to bring net carbon emissions down to zero. Taking responsibility and leading by example means the council must drastically change the way it thinks and plans. If we ignore the science and don't change the way we live, the consequent eco-catastrophic will simply ensure the end of life as we know it.
Christopher Keane of Dell Crescent also claims that the new road will lead to an increase in carbon emissions. The road over the Wensum will increase carbon emissions by around 20% at a time when we need to be decreasing them urgently in order to prevent runaway climate change. Because of global warming, the ice on the Arctic Ocean, which reflects most of the heat from the sun back out into space, is melting and being replaced by dark ocean, which absorbs most of it, which makes things even warmer, causing the warming to spiral out of control in a vicious circle and causing runaway climate change. This is made worse when the warm water releases methane, a greenhouse gas over 100 times as powerful as carbon dioxide, frozen at the bottom of the Arctic Ocean. Temperatures could rise several degrees in our children's lifetimes. A 4-degree rise would see the tropics and subtropics become uninhabitable, with mass migration from people literally fleeing for their lives because of the carbon emissions, which mostly came from the developed world. And it would see mass starvation because of crop failure due to drought and heat waves, as well as hurricanes, wildfires and floods. Is this the sort of world we want to leave our children? The UK Parliament has declared a climate emergency. It is time to act on it and put a stop to climate damaging projects like the road over the Wensum.
Perhaps an easing of the emissions problem lies in the increased use of electric powered cars. Unfortunately, David M. Coe of Rosebery Road, Norwich, points out some issues with electric cars which need resolving first. As the government rolls out its ambitious plans to make all cars manufactured in the future to be electric powered, two issues about whether this will be possible remain unaddressed. The first is, where will the charging points be situated? And how many of them can be easily accessible to the general public? Will there ever be enough of them to avoid even more cars being held up for hours queuing at these points? Is it possible for each single house, in the years to come, to have a charging point? Or will the cost be prohibitive? Secondly, can we ever produce enough electricity to satisfy this extra demand? considering that today we often have to draw electricity from power stations in Europe to satisfy our domestic and industrial demands. Instead of building more power stations here, we are decommissioning them because of the cost of building new, cleaner ones that are needed to combat air pollution and climate change. Today, we appear to be concentrating all our efforts and resources on building electric cars and doing much less on getting the infrastructure in place that these millions of electric cars will need. Perhaps we are putting the cart before the horse, because no one, either in the private or public sector, is prepared to fund the enormous cost this infrastructure will cost. And that is all for letters for this week.